Shags, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for adjusting this time period to meet with me today to discuss football league.
Was my honor. Can you hear me all right?
I can't. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I've got some different headphones in. Just wanted to make
Sounds
sure.
good. Sounds good. Yeah, I kind of forgot that today was my mom's birthday, so yeah.
No worries. December 1st, good day for it.
Yep, exactly. That's how we do.
And speaking of December 1st, it's 3:02 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. It was 73 degrees here in Denver today, Ben, which
Wow, nice
is
day. Beautiful.
badass for December
Yeah.
1st. Hell yeah, Ben.
It's been a great
A couple
week.
weeks.
Yeah, it has been. How was your Thanksgiving? How was everything?
Was good. Hectic, busy,
Went back to Cal.
but went back to Cali, saw the fam, saw some
Nice.
friends, saw a lot of friends. 10-year high school reunion.
Wow.
Good stuff.
We never had ours yet. I'm not sure we're ever gonna have ours just because like COVID kind of hit
Right.
right during it. So I'm just not sure. Was yours like planned or was it more like just kind of like, hey, let's just kind of have some fun, meet up somewhere?
No, it was planned. It was technically 11 years because last year it got postponed
Yeah,
due to COVID.
exactly.
So, no, but it was planned by some folks that were in leadership positions back in high school. And then,
Yeah, the last I had heard, they were doing the same thing at my high school for this year. They were trying, but it sounds like they never got together, or else I didn't get invited, which is a
which
legit possibility.
that seems unlikely, though.
Nah, yeah, I'm just kidding. I was, I was liked. I was,
Well, it's not about being liked, Ben. It's a matter of including everyone who was an alumni from that year.
that's true. Well, there's a couple of kids that probably shouldn't be invited, to be honest with you,
Right. Makes
but
sense. I probably wouldn't go anyway.
for violence issues, yeah, stuff like that. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Should we talk some football?
Let's do it, Ben.
It's gonna be a great week. We don't have a guest, right? So it's just us two
Just you and I, Ben. Me
just
interviewing
doing
you at the end.
a duet here.
We got a nice number of questions.
I love it.
But we will start, as always, with our Taco Bell takeaway of the week. Multiple
Absolutely.
weeks to choose from. And what I decided, Ben, I decided to stray away from mainstream topics
I liked yours this week because
like
it's
the Niners are
controversial.
surging, the
Sure.
Patriots are playing well, the Rams are falling apart. You
Sure.
know, there's plenty of that stuff, but we talk about those teams a lot. And so I wanted to give a shout out to Tua. Tagovailoa, I believe is how it's pronounced. And I just want him to be given a chance. I don't think he's, some amazing quarterback or anything, but I think he's very clearly makes Miami better when he's in the games. He has played 17 games in his career. Sorry, he started 17 games. He's 10 and 7 overall. He's completed 80% of his passes in three different games this year, 70% in another. I know he's been hot lately. Saw another thing on Twitter that, like, if you take out Kyler's rushing stats, like their first 16 or 17 career starts are very similar passing wise, slight edge to Tua in terms of some of that stuff. So anyway, I would just like to see Miami surround him with some more talent, upgrade the offensive line a little bit. I think Waddle's a budding star, and I don't know.
I think the
Tua just
two.
gets a lot of shit for a young quarterback who's like still
No,
got some upside,
I
but
get you. I
let's give
get
him a
you.
chance.
I think like I was not the biggest fan of two even coming out, to be honest with you. I think you know
Neither was
that.
I.
But
Seemed like a great kid, as I'm sure we said.
no, for
It's
sure.
not the personality at all.
Absolutely not. But I think the two biggest things with Tua in the NFL are the deep ball, and he seems to be developing it a little bit. And with Waddle, he's going to really have to develop it, to take advantage of that relationship and player.
Yeah, they
But I
don't seem to
think,
throw to him deep at all. I haven't watched a ton, but.
yeah, it's a lot. And don't get me wrong, you need to get the ball in Waddle's hands as much as possible. But his big thing is, hey, throw it deep and let me go get it, which Tua is not great at per se, but he can improve on. Secondly, is injuries. And just staying healthy. And that's just a big part of the NFL.
Absolutely.
And we'll see as time goes on if he can do
Can't wait.
it. Well, I know I went pretty basic here, I guess. But it's the hottest team in the NFL. It might be, I think they're the fourth highest odds to win the Super Bowl now as well.
Yeah.
And that would be the New England Patriots. Now, I know you're not a fan, and I understand why, but I kind of like these new Patriots with Mac Jones, and like, it's like a new squad. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I like it a little bit. I like Bill Belichick without Tom Brady, I guess. I'm very intrigued to see what this team will do in the playoffs, especially when that time comes.
Absolutely. I will say, Ben, you've been on that train the whole season, so this is not a new development. You've been saying it since the beginning of the year that you were intrigued by the Patriots. They are playing well. I'm also excited to see what they do in the playoffs, specifically to watch them lose in the first round.
And here's the thing.
And that wouldn't be a disappointment at all.
No, but, well, actually, it might be a little bit for some people.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, that's where I'm interested in is, like, they're going on this in-season incredible run. You know, Bill Belichick had one bad season. It's kind of, you know, shoving that narrative away that it wasn't him. You know, that both him and, you know, Tom are good.
Right.
But it will be an interesting area to see because playoffs are just a different animal. We know this. Oh, yeah. Everyone knows this. So it'll be very interesting. And I think, like you said, I think if you do lose in the first round, I don't think it is a disappointment ultimately because you have to remember you do have a rookie quarterback who is not bad, by the way. It's just a rookie quarterback who's learning the league as he goes.
That's right.
So, yeah. I get you.
Yeah, I'm it's not specific to me just like the Patriots. With any team that would look like this, I would always have the approach of like, I'll believe it when I see it in the playoffs. Not to say that it's not impressive what they're doing, but especially when it comes to unproven quarterbacks, you always have to wait until the playoffs. And then it's like, oh, okay, that's kind of where the true colors usually show. All right, shout out to the AFC East. Two big talking points there. We got West Coast bias over here.
We didn't even touch on the Bills.
Didn't even touch on the Bills, who I still think is a real good team, and that's going to be a fun matchup between them and the Patriots. We'll talk about that one a little bit later, though, in primetime. Pick 'em, Ben. Week 12, scores and recap. We're not going to go through Week 11 scores and recap that we missed last week. Sorry, you guys can look it up on the internet. We've got Skaggs Island, 157.5. Darren Narwhalers, 90. Maz Meatloaf, 85.5. La Marvelous Llamas, 76. Bill Belichick, 86. Golden Bandits, 115.5. Scott's Tots, 81. All Mahomes Ball, 62.5. Pizzapalooza, recently rebranded. Travis Hansen, 75.5. Over Bellify Island, 73.5. And lastly, one of the hottest teams in the league, the Ohio State, 116. Versus one of the coldest teams in the league, beating us 34.5 points.
Gentlemen, watch out.
And for those keeping score at home, those who have checked the standings, which I know you all have, there are 5 teams at 8-4 tied for first. There are an additional 4 teams at 6-6, all fighting for that 6th playoff spot. Really intriguing stuff down the stretch, Ben.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun because – yes, we do have a lot of people trying to get into the playoffs. We have a lot of people competing for that first playoff spot. But we also have 2 people competing for the number 1 pick.
It's true.
So things are getting very interesting.
Both coming off wins this weekend.
And it's not actually technically my – I mean, it's my pick technically, but it's – you know how it goes.
They do. Yeah, meanwhile, Nick Snyder, one of the hottest – members of the league, 6 in a row, tied for first, 8-4.
And he's going to have a top 2 pick next year.
Watch out, folks. For our Geico game of the week, fuck progressive, we could have gone with Pizzapalooza over Bellify Island. That was a 2-point game. We could have gone with Maz Meatloaf over the Marvelous Llamas. That was within single digits. But instead, we decided to go with Andrew 157.5, Zach 90. Just wanted to highlight this game, Ben, because Zach is my rival.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have swept him this season, and in those 2 matchups, I've combined for 299.5 points, nearly 300.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So it's safe to say that the boys get up for that game.
Yeah.
Zach, congrats on your championship last year, but sorry about what's happened this year. And it also helped part of what helped create that 5-way tie for first. And so we're fired up about that. And then big week for the points four category for the tiebreaker, ultimately with seeding, with it being that jam-packed, that helps me climb into the third in the points, help me overtake Zach. And so that's our Geico game of the week.
Huge game. I mean, massive game. Zach, I feel like, is on a little bit of a slide. Meanwhile, you're one of the hottest teams in the league, so watch out. Watch out.
Watch out. All right, Ben. Week 12 superlatives. We're back. Best start, worst sit. Eye-opening performance. You know the drill. Go ahead and start with best start, Ben.
Well, I'm going to give it to Scott's team, and it's going to be Mac Jones. I honestly don't think that I think he was trying to tank here, and he started him over Joe Burrow, but it didn't work.
Well, he's done that for several weeks, though.
Has he? Okay. I don't know. I honestly haven't really given attention.
Week by week, though, it's becoming less and less controversial.
I guess that's true. Yeah, you know? I guess no, you're not wrong. Yeah, you're not wrong. But, yeah, it's a good start, and 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, 21 points, and in a win.
Yeah.
So, Scott Stotts, Mac Jones.
Yep. Big Patriots podcast so far.
Also, as the season goes later, best starts are getting a little bit slimmer as well.
They are. It's already been, you know, it was already a thin category, but yes, just how it goes. I'm going to go with the guy who's seemingly been on here multiple times on different superlatives, and that's going to be Russell Gage. Some weeks it's the Grey Goose Egg of the week. Sometimes he's the best start. Sometimes he's the worst sit. This week, best start, 6 catches, 62 yards, 1 touchdown. That is 15 points for Team Nick in a 9.5-point victory. I don't have his team in front of me, but I can tell you that, you know, Russell Gage is not a guaranteed starter, so he made the right choice in putting him in. I know Nick's got some depth, so he had other options. But that's how you win football games. That's how you win 6 in a row.
Makes sense. And, you know, he's just that's just how Snides does, you know?
Yeah. Worst set, Ben?
I am going to go with Joe's squad, Dontrell Hilliard.
Mm-hmm.
12 carries, 131 yards, and a touchdown. 19.5 points in a 2-point loss. The rest of his flexes combined to score 23 points. So that's tough, you know?
Really tough. And
that's tough.
You know, especially, you could have never seen it coming, but.
And it's a make or break sort of deal for Joe. So you really need this win this week. So tough, you know? Just tough.
Very tough. And, you know, while it did come out of the blue, you know, there's a reason you pick up a guy like Dontrell Hilliard.
Exactly.
He's only going to have a limited number of opportunities, and that was one of them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to continue to just be a thorn in Zach's side today. And I'm going to go with the worst. It was Odell Beckham Jr., which I know Zach loves to hear. One of his favorite players. We actually, I traded him to Zach at one point in this league. Just a complete enigma of a fantasy player. But anyway, he had 5 catches for 81 yards and a touchdown, 18.5 points in that blowout loss that we talked about. Wouldn't have made a difference, obviously. But look, Ben, the media clearly told us that he was going to be heavily involved, and the media never lies. That's always a true fact when they say it. And so, you know, and
it just it really does take a lot of guts to start Tony Jones Jr. over OBJ, though.
Yeah, that's just a tough look. Again, I feel like I watch a lot of football, follow it pretty closely.
Sure.
That was one of those ones where I looked at his name and I'm like, I have no idea who Tony Jones Jr. is. Why is he in Zach's starting lineup against me?
I'm Zach's best friend. We all know this. And I actually do like Tony Jones Jr. I just don't think he was the play of this week, per se.
Yeah. So anyway, that's
especially over OBJ.
Right. Who's been inconsistent, don't get me wrong, but I just figured week two
at some point,
with the Rams, with Robert Woods down, you're like, okay, mm-hmm. might as well give him a shot, see what he's got. He's in a good offense. Yeah. Anyway. The eye-opening performance of the week, we'll keep this one relatively brief, Ben. Leonard Fournette, he is on my team. He's a longstanding member. 4 touchdowns, 3 on the ground, 1 through the air, 100 yards rushing, 7 catches receiving, 40.5 points. Outstanding effort. You'd love to see it. Then we'll give you a little shout-out with Elijah Mitchell, Ben.
Thank you.
27 carries, 133 yards, 1 touchdown. In addition to 5 catches, 35 yards for 24.5 points. Just looking like an absolute steal for the Niners. You've been a day one Elijah Mitchell over Trey Sermon guy. You just love to see it. I like watching him run.
Me too. I'm going to go back to our sit of the week. And I'm going to stick with Dontrell Hilliard here as the eye-opening performance as well.
Yep.
Came out of nowhere, let's be honest, for 12, 131, and a touchdown. That's a pretty ridiculous stat line. So, sorry, Joe, but that's him. Honorable mention, I'm going to give it to Cedric Wilson on Bosco's squad, who he did start. With the absence of a bunch of receivers for the Cowboys, Cedric Wilson had 7 catches for 104 yards for 13.5 fantasy points.
Yeah. He's been good lately.
Boise State product. Shout out, Blue.
Boise State product was on my roster for a while this year. Forget why I had to drop anything. I had to activate someone from the IR. Probably shouldn't have done it. Funny thing about the Dontrell Hilliard situation, Ben, quick note. Mm-hmm. You saw my tweet where I mentioned, where I replied to CBS Sports. They were talking about how Mac Jones was doing well, saying people forget he's a rookie. I understand this is sports social media. They just have to like say this stuff and create content. Yeah. Anyway, I just think it's funny because my response for those that haven't seen the tweet was like, no, people don't forget that because you guys tell us every week. We're well aware that Mac Jones is a rookie. Sure. What I was going to say after all of this spiel here is the NFL is so wildly popular, in addition to fantasy football being so wildly popular.
Like, and gambling now.
And gambling, like you just need to like shift your lens. And not that CBS needs to do anything. They're fine. They can tweet whatever they want. Like, saying that Mac Jones is a rookie – is that like that's like a storyline that's flying under the radar or people forget or, you know, something like that. Like, it's a ridiculous statement. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows all 5 of the rookie quarterbacks because you literally force it down our throats, whether you're mega fans like us that follow everything or you're just a casual football fan that like just plays fantasy football. You still know that all 5 of these dudes were drafted this year. Like, you're well aware of that fact.
Yeah. And so, you don't know who, and if you, and to even dumb this down even more, if you don't know who Mac Jones is,
right,
you probably don't even know that he's a rookie. So it doesn't even matter at that point. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Because like, clearly you didn't watch college football.
That's what I'm saying.
At Alabama so, like, last year. Like, right.
Yeah. So like, it just doesn't even matter. It's just like, yeah, I get what you're doing. You're like, and yeah.
Long story short, when I thought of it in my head, I'm like, saying that Dontrell Hilliard went off and came out of nowhere last week, that would qualify as a little bit under the radar. Sure. If you had watched Red Zone that day or that game, you would have maybe known. But like that's how deep it has to be an under the radar story in the NFL, as opposed to what they're basically being like, don't forget that Mac Jones is a rookie. It's like, no, like
one reason why that's CBS Sports, because let's be honest, CBS Sports is garbage. So
yeah, I do use their app for scores. I will say that.
Honestly, I just Google scores now. It's so much faster than anything else.
Yeah. That's how the internet keeps tabs on you though. Ben, the Grey Goose Egg of the Week, we're going not applicable. Not applicable. There was a shit ton of 0.5 scored, like too many to mention. And then, of course, Rashad Penny not scoring any because he's Rashad Penny and he's not a running back that gets carries.
I don't think he played this week. I think he was inactive.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, pretty soon, you know what, Ben? Next year, we're going to call this the Rashad Penny of the Week Award, and we're gonna get away from our Grey Goose sponsorship as much as we love vodka.
He's really it. Pete Carroll has, I don't mean to go into this too much here. Pete
Carroll
has an infatuation with Rashad Penny.
Yeah,
it's Ben. it's like CJ Procise on steroids for Pete Carroll.
I don't understand
what's happening,
Ben. I love that, and trust me, Ben, we're gonna have plenty of time to discuss Seahawks.
That's why I didn't
later
go too
in the
much
show,
into it. That's
and I'm fired up about it.
Yeah.
Huge. Al Davis just win baby award. That's gonna go to Travis.
Yep.
He had 75.5 points and a 2-point win. Would have lost to 8 teams, but Travis is a grinder and we love him. Friend of the pod, hardware guy.
He probably spends a lot of time on grinder too. Oh, just kidding. Travis is a man.
Yeah, that's right. Remember, he wouldn't even name a girl that he was looking forward to preserve his relationship. Instead, he was talking about business connections.
Business, baby.
I will have to ask him how that went. I didn't. I saw him plenty of times over the Thanksgiving week, but I did not ask how the networking went.
Business. He was doing business. He was busy. You know what I'm saying?
Ben, you want to run through this Fab recap? It's pretty pretty intricate.
Yeah, pretty short here. I got you. Okay, yeah, week 13 Fab recap we got here. Looks like the highest bid, highest offer, whatever, acquisition is Josh Reynolds to Pizzapalooza for $15. The Marvelous Llamas purchased Deshaun Jackson for $13. And Philip Lindsay was sent to Zach's squad for $1. So not a whole lot going on. And also Zach dropped Tony Jones Jr., which is hilarious.
Yep.
But yeah, so, you know, not much going on this week.
Who's your fabulous addition of the week?
That would be Josh Reynolds, the highest one there. I do think that he could be a nice flex option in the upcoming weeks. He seems to have a little connection with Jared Goff, so we'll see.
Can I ask a question, Ben?
Yes.
Is this the same Josh Reynolds that was formerly of the Rams and then started the season on the Titans?
Yes, and he got cut by the Titans.
See, that's interesting.
He seems to like playing with Jared Goff. He wanted to go to the Lions and play with Jared Goff. So they seem to have a good connection.
And there's obviously, you know, room for playing time, which never hurts.
Sure. Absolutely, that's true.
And he went to Texas A&M, if I'm not mistaken, Giggum. I remember being intrigued by him when he was on the Rams. I thought he would be an interesting third piece with the Titans. And then you would almost think once, you know, Brown and Julio have been battling all these injuries that he would have played a definite role there, but I guess it wasn't the case.
It's weird how that works in the NFL.
Yeah, very. Speaking of weird how it works, I'm going to go with Philip Lindsay, a running back who most of the time, you know, most of the time when I watch him play, seems like a pretty good player. Now, I get he's, you know, kind of gotten out of the spotlight the last couple of years, but go Buffs as well.
I was going to say Buffs legend. Colorado legend in general.
Yeah. It's just he's young still. Yeah. I liked him on the Broncos. I would have rather had him than Melvin Gordon. I don't know. He's just like he's clearly like on the verge of like no longer being in the NFL. But I'm like, what happened? Like, did he get worse? I don't understand.
It seems like unfortunately with a lot of running backs, it just seems like injuries, just mileage, you know, just
right. And now he's on the Dolphins, so we'll see.
Yeah,
Gaskin's decent. They don't really have a whole lot else.
And you never know what an offseason can do for a player. So
right,
he just needs an offseason, and
that's right. But great pickup for Zach, nonetheless. Definitely an impact player.
Yeah.
Quick run through the week 13 matchups. Ben, Bellify Island 6-6 versus Bill Belichick 8-4. William favored by 12 points in that matchup. Bees Nuts 4-8. Pizzapalooza 6-6. That's a rivalry game. Travis is projected to win by 35 at this point, but it is early in the week. I'm sure plenty of tinkering for Dan. The Ohio State 2-10. Darren Narwhalers 8-4. Two best friends. Big time spoiler alert. Projections 23 points in the favor of Zach. But we all know the Ohio State is a hot football team right now.
Watch out.
So watch the fuck out. Playing spoiler at the end of the year. Skaggs Island, 8-4. Scott's Tots, 2-10. That projection is not within 60 points. The Marvelous Llamas, 6-6. Golden Bandits, 8-4. That projection is within 5 points in Anthony's favor. And lastly, Maz Meatloaf versus All Mahomies Ball. Nick, 8-4. Rob, 6-6. Two good friends from college. The hottest team in the league is favored by about 25 right now. Rob's just grinding to the best of his ability. We will see. We will see.
We will see.
The Michelob Ultra matchup of the week, Ben, Anthony versus Bosco. Despite there being 5-8-4 teams, none of them play each other this week. Therefore, we've got the 8-4 Anthony versus 6-6 Bosco. Bosco is in the sixth spot, thanks to the points for tiebreaker. Came into the season with high expectations, certainly one of the top rosters in the league. So it's just a huge matchup for him. He's, you know, obviously interested in making the playoffs. I don't know how his future picks stand out, but I believe he's traded some picks for some players. And then Anthony's in the top dog spot, thanks to his points for. So he owns that tiebreaker. So a couple things can happen, Ben. You can have Anthony beating Bosco. That's going to be very detrimental to Bosco's playoff chances. Just 2 weeks remaining in the regular season, Ben.
I know.
Or we've got Bosco beating Anthony. which would shift the balance of power at the top of the standings. Once again, that would allow for some other people to inch one step closer towards getting a first round bye. And then lastly, just two dudes with huge pieces and good for them.
Like huge dicks?
Yeah.
Love that. Don't be shy, gentlemen. Don't be shy.
You got anything on that matchup, Ben?
It's going to be a good one because, you know, Bosco's clawing, trying to get in the playoffs. He's fighting for his life. Anthony, meanwhile, he wants that one seed. You know he wants it. He wants to prove himself to this league. It's just – it's going to be a good one. I'd say buckle up, everyone, because it's going to be a wild ride.
Love that. Absolutely. Your favorite segment, Ben, the Dynasty Draft Prospect Preview presented by Duracraft Boats. Who are we going to talk about today, Ben?
Duracraft Boats, by the way. Yep. Today we are going to talk about two different players. We will start with Breece Hall, running back, Iowa State. He actually just set the touchdown record last week for Iowa State, I think.
Career?
Career. And he's just been pretty much the model of consistency at Iowa State, why he's been there, why the program has been on the rise consistently. He's a powerful runner. I wouldn't say he's going to blow away. Oh. Andrew, can you hear me?
I can, Ben.
Headphones are off, so we're going headphoneless. Here we go. They just batteried off. No, they're not good, but here we go.
You sound great still.
Awesome. Perfect. Breece Hall, powerful runner. He's not going to blow away anyone with his like speed or athleticism per se, but powerful, has good balance, good pass protector. So he's going to get a lot of playing time, you know? So it's going to be interesting.
Ben, you know, that sentence that you mentioned really resonated with me, and that's how people would also describe me. You know, powerful runner, not going to blow anyone away with speed or athleticism. I really like that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of how I am too, but I do think he's going to be the kind of running back in the NFL who's just going to be that kind of guy who, trying to find a comparison, maybe like an
Alfred Morris?
Alfred Morris or why am I forgetting his name? What's the former Bears running back that just was so slow?
Oh, Jordan Howard?
Jordan Howard. There we go. Jordan Howard.
All right. Well, each of those guys had their day. And not to say Alfred Morris was slow. I just know he's a kind of small, compact guy.
Exactly. Chris Olave, wide receiver, Ohio State, is our next guy. Last year, he probably could have gone like top 15 if he had declared, but he decided to go back to Ohio State. This year, he's had a good season. He's had a very solid season. I'd say that it's not been like a great season, but he's more of a smaller frame receiver, but very agile, very good out of his routes, very quick out of his routes. He's going to beat you with his route skills, his speed, his agility, not with his size or anything like that. It's going to be, and that's kind of becoming the new wide receiver in the NFL, let's be honest with you. So it's going to be interesting to see what team he goes to and how they utilize him. I do think that he can be talented on any team, but, you know, he's just going to have to get the ball in his hands with his athleticism, and the team's going to have to utilize him in a certain way. So I do think he is going to be a first-round pick for sure in the NFL draft. It'll be interesting.
All right, I got some questions for you, Ben.
Go on.
First and foremost, is it Olave or however you said it, Olave or?
I think it's Olave.
Olave, interesting. I feel like I've heard it Olave.
You might be right. I'm not.
Okay. Second question: how tall is he?
I think he's like 5'11", 6 feet.
Okay. And he has pretty long arms, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah, he's not like super short. He's not like Tyreek Hill. I'm trying to think. He's more like KJ Hamler that recently came.
He's a little bit of a Devontae Smith to a certain extent.
Yeah, that makes a little bit of
a little less explosive on the route running, but
exactly, but
long arm,
and, yeah, and a little bit frame. A little bit bigger, just a tiny, like 10 pounds bigger, you know,
yeah,
an inch more maybe, but yeah, same kind of wide receiver sort of deal.
Third question,
less explosive.
Is Garrett Wilson better than him?
So we're gonna cover Garrett Wilson another week, hopefully next week.
Okay.
Last year, we all thought that Olave, or however you want to pronounce it, was better. This year, Wilson has explored onto the scene. Wilson was good last year, but not as good as Olave. Wilson seems way more explosive to me, like a much better athlete.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if he's as good of a route runner as Olave. And as experienced as Olave, so it'll be interesting. We'll see.
Can't wait. Ben's Betting Corner, presented by Baskin Robbins. Ben, before we get into some talk about betting, wanted to provide a quick ice cream thought. Recently, Ben, as recently as Monday night of this week, I purchased Tillamook vanilla ice cream, as well as a thing of blackberries. And a tradition that I like to do is put the blackberries in the vanilla ice cream, smash them up, mix them around. Yeah. All of a sudden, you've got a little bit of a light blackberry ice cream. Anyway, I've done that twice this week. This reminds me of my childhood. I used to go out and pick blackberries pretty often.
Hmm.
So that's my ice cream thought of the week, Ben.
Sounds very good. In Arizona, they have this local ice cream called Bluebell.
Yep.
Have you ever
sounds
had
familiar?
It? Okay, yeah. It's and I just want to Google it here really quickly just to make sure that I am because I just want to make sure.
Blue Bell. I know there's like a Blue Bunny too.
See, it's not Blue Bunny. Yeah, it's Blue Bell. It's Blue Bell ice cream. And it seems to be it's made in Texas. But I never saw it in Washington State when I lived there. But it's in Arizona, and it's very good ice cream. It's, like, sold at, like, grocery stores and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Very delicious ice cream. So if you ever see it, I recommend
it. And you had it recently?
Yes.
What flavor?
I've had, like, their plain vanilla. I've had their plain chocolate. All very good. They've had something called, like, a Millennium Crunch, which is, like, it's, like, walnuts and, like, chunks of caramel and fudge and like it's very good. And then they have a bunch of other flavors too. They have cookies and cream and all that good stuff.
Hell yeah,
it's very good. I recommend it. But yeah, so hold on, I'm trying to find my I have so many windows up, it's unbelievable.
I love that for you.
Whew. Okay, Ben's Betting Corner. Been very slow as of late. Bankroll's not as big. We're trying to we lost some money there, you know, for a little bit, but we laid down a couple things here and there this week.
True.
We did lose Ohio State -7 on Saturday to Michigan. You know what? Shout out to Michigan. They bullied them in the trenches all game long. No complaints there. Then I lost some money on their basketball team last night, not because I bet on them, but I bet against them.
We all did.
Shout out to Rob, right? That was Rob?
Yeah. Well, in his defense, you know, for about 38 of those 40 minutes,
it was
a really good-looking bet.
You know, I fell asleep at the 38th minute.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a tough look.
And then I woke up to all those texts, and I was like, not good.
Mm.
Yeah. But we did make up for some things this week, and we had to bet on Coach Jones' last game in Baton Rouge. And we took the money line against A&M, and it hit. And it's been keeping us afloat.
Huge. And then I'll give a quick shout-out to a friend of the pod and our only reviewer, Gabe. Through my betting account, he bet on Michigan +7, Oregon -7.
Wow.
Nice little 50 to win 130. So that was our win for the week. I wasn't a part of it, but, you know,
Gabe's I was there. Gabe's just a stud.
Never mind. We'll get to that in the interview section. Ben, I'm going to leave this one up to you. Should we throw it to commercial or should we just keep powering through?
We can keep powering through.
All right. We're going to transition to the primetime pick 'em standings and in general the primetime pick 'em. What I realized when typing this out is that the guest picker is officially done for the season, as mm-hmm. we have no more interviews. Now, that being said, if we do proceed to bring on some funny guest interviews, whether it be Gabe, Max, Colin, we'll see. We could revive that. But as of now, guest picker finished at 9-21. A couple weeks ago was Travis, and he picked New England covering against Atlanta correctly. However, he lost on the Chargers against the Steelers and then the Giants against Tampa Bay. Ben, you had the exact same results as far as who you picked because you and Travis picked the same people. However, your season record is now 11-19. And then lastly, Andrew Skaggs, 15-15. Two big wins last week, Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay covering. Lost on Atlanta against New England.
We have breaking news, Andrew.
Breaking news, Ben. Let's hear it.
The Seahawks are signing Adrian Peterson to their practice squad.
Huge.
Massive.
That should turn the season around.
Well, I know this league is, you know, an Adrian Peterson league. We're all about our, our switches and stuff like that. So
that's right. You got to learn toughness somehow.
Exactly. Would you like to give your picks or should I give my picks?
Well, we'll go game by game.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Sorry. That was just big news. I had to give that out.
No. That was huge. I love breaking news on the podcast, especially something as large as that.
Yeah.
Thursday Night Football, Dallas at New Orleans. New Orleans is getting 4.5 points, meaning Dallas is favored by 4.5 points. I'm obviously taking the Cowboys because I like them, and the Saints kind of look like they suck right now. I don't feel great about it. Cowboys have been banged up, some COVID stuff. But we're going to go -4.5.
Yeah, it's tough here. I was leaning towards Dallas, but I feel like the Saints are going to be a little upset after last week's debacle, and they're going to be at home.
Taysom's starting.
I'm sorry, what?
Taysom is starting.
Exactly. And I think that's a little spark right there. Dallas has been hit with the bug, with the COVID bug. And I think that's going to affect them a little bit on the road, especially. So give me the points. I do think Dallas wins in a close one here, though.
Okay. Sunday Night Football. Denver at Kansas City. Kansas City favored by 10 points. God, every Kansas City line I've ever seen just seems like a trap.
Yeah.
But,
I was going to ask you. You don't think this looks too big to you, but I guess not.
If this was in Denver, maybe. To be honest with you, Chiefs coming off a bye, and just the way that I saw Teddy limping around the field the other day, I think there's a strong possibility that Drew Lock comes into the game. And not that I think he's the worst quarterback in the world anyway. Like, the Chiefs defense is someone I targeted in fantasy this week. I just I'm just not – I've got the under in the Broncos season wins. It's too bad because, you know, I'm a new resident in Denver. I don't dislike the Broncos franchise. I just really dislike franchises that choose to start quarterbacks like Teddy Bridgewater, and so therefore I can't pick them.
I get you. I understand that. But I am going to go Denver +10 here.
Yeah. Well, we have to be different most of the time.
No, absolutely.
That's part of the deal.
And I think – I'm going to lean that way because I think maybe they get like a backdoor touchdown or something like that at the end of the game that brings them within 9 points or something like that. But I do think it's going to be like kind of like a blowout for pretty much the rest of the game. And Kansas City will kind of stay in the lead. But 10 just seems like a little bit too much.
I agree. Monday Night Football, Ben, your favorite team, the Patriots at the Buffalo Bills. Bills are favored by 2.5.
It is my favorite team currently, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I know how it is. I'm going to take Buffalo -2.5. I'm sure people are shocked by this. This would be, in my opinion, a really nice game for everything to get right in the world, for the Buffalo Bills to absolutely smack the Patriots, remind them that they don't even belong in the same category as the Bills, that they have a real star quarterback and not a fake one. It would just be really nice, you know, for me to watch that then.
And I'm going to go opposite, of course, and take New England +2.5, plus the money line most likely. And I assume that you know, the Patriots will stay on their little roll here and go into Buffalo and kind of just beat them up a little bit.
Just keep rolling.
Keep rolling.
I do want to shout out the fact that Monday Night Football gets their first, like, decently competitive game in, like, 2 months. So, good for them for finally picking one game right on the whole preseason schedule.
It's been a while.
I mean, good Lord. Every week, I'm like, you can't be serious. You ended up with this game. And, like, not only that, like, they're not all horrible matchups, but I'm like, the odds that this was a really good game in, like, week 11 just seem pretty low. Like, at least on one side or the other. Okay, so last night's game, for example. In your head, going into the season, you would have thought the Seahawks would have been pretty competitive.
Yeah.
Washington, you're kind of mixed bag. Maybe best case scenario, you get a competitive Seahawks team with a Washington team that's about where they are right now or a little bit better.
5-0.
But still, you're just like, okay, not that one. Tampa Bay versus the Giants. In what world was that going to be like some great matchup? I just don't know.
That one, I think, is Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, you know, one of the better teams. And then just your big, you know.
Your New York market.
Exactly.
God, it just makes for shit football, though.
I understand, but unfortunately, that's just how the numbers work there.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, enough about that, Ben. We're going to transition right into the manager interview.
Oh, yes.
This should be fun. The Ohio State is 2-10. And I'm going to start you off with a question, just like everyone else, Ben. You've won two of your last three games. Elijah Mitchell's the best running back in the NFL. Pat Freiermuth's an elite tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Is it safe to say that your team is the title favorite in 2022 in Dynasty Kings?
Oh, I wish. No, I mean, I don't think it's going to be the title favorite in 2022. I think you're going to have to give it maybe 2023, 2024. But I do think it's going to be more competitive next year. Finish, like, hopefully top 6 to 8, somewhere around there. And I think the roster is going to be a lot better. I don't enjoy losing. I didn't really enjoy losing the season, but I did enjoy seeing the team progress and certain players that I drafted, like, make big strides. And so it was, like, a lot of fun to see the rebuild. I'd say that I probably have the youngest roster in the league, I'm guessing.
Who knows?
I haven't done the math, but
I haven't either.
I assume it's pretty damn close.
Yeah, future's bright. And then once, you know, the Bears hand the ball over to Khalil Herbert full time, you'll really be rolling.
Just waiting. That's just the handcuff option there. You know, you never know.
That's right. Next question, Ben. You seem relatively allergic to first-round picks, despite not having the strongest roster. Mm-hmm. Is there a strategy behind that? What went into ultimately trading your first-round pick, even though your team was kind of deteriorating?
Yeah, I think that kind of goes back to the Deshaun Watson trade.
Yep.
Where, you know, it was probably a lot of my fault there. I probably should have waited to see what the Watson, you know, outcome was going to be, but I didn't. You know, I don't know. Not going to even go too far into that.
How's he playing for your team this year?
Not well. Yeah, you know, not great. So trading away that first round pick, yeah, definitely put me in the hole with first round picks. But I do have like two. I did have a future. I did have a ton of future first rounds, but I have been trading them for guys like AJ Dillon, and other guys like that. And I still have 23 ones.
Okay.
That I feel like even if I want to try to keep one of them. So I'm going to make a little plea here with everyone that's listening. I want to keep one of them, but one of them is open to be traded. Let me know. Just, you know, hit me up. But I think that I honestly feel okay picking outside of the first round because I picked guys like Elijah Mitchell, Kadarius, Tony, Ramondre Stevenson, honestly. And I do watch a lot of college football, maybe more than NFL. And I've got a pretty good feel on guys coming out, I think. Now, I'm not saying that I don't – like, I've missed on a lot of guys, too.
You're the less need of this league.
I appreciate that. I've missed on a lot of guys, though, too. Don't get me wrong. But I also feel like I get enough second- and third-round picks that I get volume to try to hit on them.
Absolutely. And I think, look,
yeah,
as we've seen in this league, there's kind of two different directions you can go. And there's truly nothing wrong with trading first round picks.
Yeah.
Case in point is Anthony likes to deal his. I think just the key is making sure you get that right, playing asset in return.
Absolutely.
And so we'll obviously see how that plays out with your guys because they're all pretty young. But yeah.
I've enjoyed AJ Dillon so far.
Yeah.
I think
he's kind of emerging.
I got some gruff a little bit when I traded away a one for AJ Dillon. I think people were like, you trade away a one for a backup running back, but I was like, but it's a 23-year-old backup running back who looks pretty damn good when he runs the ball. So,
yep.
In a good offense too. So, I think I had like so many. That was another 23-1 that I had traded to Scott. Mm-hmm. So I had 3 and 23 that I was just like, I don't need this many. And I feel comfortable trading it, taking a risk on a guy like AJ Dillon.
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
Love it. Some of your future, Ben, hinges on Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. I think everyone except for delusional QB evaluator Zach agrees that he's got the talent to get it done in this league. Does Urban Meyer have what it takes to develop into a star? And what has been your thoughts just so far, 12 games into his career or 13?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And I think it's a significant question to ask. I think it's funny because Trevor Lawrence was my first round pick, but clearly has been probably like the worst pick.
But that was always going to be a long-term play. I mean,
absolutely. To be honest with you, I wasn't like expecting huge things this year, but he has been pretty disappointing.
But who else did you have? You had Jameis, right?
I had Jameis.
I was going to say, because you weren't necessarily expecting him to come in and be the starter every week.
Trevor, no. But it also got to the point where it didn't really matter who I was playing every week. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I just was like, let the guy play. There wasn't really a quarterback that I really wanted to pick up and play like over him that I was like, it was like essential to me. So, but to go back to your question, Zach, who is my best friend, along with Anthony, of course, couldn't be more wrong on the Lawrence evaluation. Let's be honest with you.
Of course.
I think
it's purely because he drafted Zach Wilson.
No, I understand.
But that's it's a tough stance to take. Just like,
you got to stick to your gun sometimes. I thought Cardale Jones was going to be a, multiple time Pro Bowl quarterback.
You and me both.
Stuck to it. But I think even with Urban, I think they will figure out next season. Trevor Lawrence's O-line is like really below average and has had 9 guys play significant snaps on it throughout the offseason. And I think, you want to get consistency on the offensive line, especially for a rookie quarterback or a young quarterback. So I think that's going to be a big deal.
They'll have a high pick, get an impact guy.
Yeah, and I think, Urban definitely has, a lot to do with that as well, so he can't screw it up. But also, I look at his wide receivers. I mean, I don't – no knock on LaVisca, but I just don't think he's a one per se.
No.
I think he's going to be like a two sort of like slot gadget guy,
Oh, yeah.
And then love Marvin Jones Jr., but he's not a wide receiver one either. And so
– they need to get a guy.
Exactly. They just need to get a guy that he can throw the ball up to and really be confident in. And a tight end, too, would help. Like, I love Dan Arnold, but
– yeah. I should – well, I mentioned this, and I know Etienne's got some upside, and I do really like him. But yeah. I felt like they should have drafted Freiermuth either early second, late first last year.
And I think that would have been a great pick, too.
I think it would have helped them a lot.
Yeah, give him a big body just to throw the ball to. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I think,
and they won't take – they probably wouldn't take a receiver or tight end where they're picking right now in the first round, but maybe early second would be a good spot for
exactly. And there's a lot there. There's a lot of wide receivers to pick from. So I think if you can just get Trevor Lawrence some talent and another season, even with Urban, I think they'll be fine, honestly. I think next year I think you're going to see some leaps and bounds with Trevor, which I think saves Urban because I think he's just too good. I think Urban – listen – Urban Meyer gets a lot of slack. I know that he's had a rough
– it's been quiet lately, though.
Yeah, and he's had a rough
– he's weathered the storm.
Yeah, it's true. It is true. He had a rough, first half season there off the field.
I haven't heard much lately, though.
But he is a talented coach, and he's a smart football guy.
It's his first time coaching the NFL, too.
True. And I just think that he knows what it takes to win at any level, honestly, just a football game. So I think he knows what he needs to do, needs to put around Trevor Lawrence. And I think the cons know that too, and they'll spend some money and they'll be fine.
Absolutely. Ben, time for everyone's favorite segment. You've made probably more trades than anyone in this league, but you got some good ones and some bad ones for us?
Yeah. When I did control F here, you know, control find, and I did Ben, there was 67 results. And yep. Now, you know, I'd say maybe like 20 of those were Ben's X and X pick or whatever.
Yep.
So still quite a bit.
And I still haven't even updated some of the recent trades that have been made, but
boy,
not necessarily yours, but
yeah, no, most of them are on there for me. And I'll be completely honest with you. There's a lot of bad ones. There's been a lot of bad ones. Like
if there's one thing I like about you, Ben, it's that you're completely honest.
Yeah. Listen, you can go on the show. I've even missed some. You can go on the show. I'm not going to list everything here because we could spend 3 hours on the segment and break everything down. And part of the thing is with me, I can't stop trading. I can't help myself.
Right. It's like a drug. You're an addict.
Yes, exactly. I need help, but there's no therapist to help me with unnecessary dynasty fantasy trades. There's not like a specialist in that yet, I guess. I've tried, but there's nothing yet. Maybe I can figure that out. But I kind of feel like that GIF. Do you ever, have you ever watched Always Sunny?
I have, yeah. Yeah, the one where he's...
You know the one where he's like trying to figure out shit on the bulletin board? I feel like that when I'm looking at that sheet. Because it's just hard. But here's some trades for you that, you know, are not great. Deshaun Watson and a 2 for Russell Wilson was not good at all, let's be honest with you. Mm-hmm. That was maybe one of the worst trades out there ever in this league, probably. You could also go with, I think I traded away Tyler Lockett for like a second round pick to Anthony back in the day, which has been pretty bad. Yeah, it's been bad. It's been really bad. I'm not going to go through the rest of them because it's been bad. And it's like, the problem is, like I said, I trade one person and then I trade away them really quickly. So I don't really know. But I will tell you one trade that I did enjoy.
Sure.
I think Joe mentioned this earlier when we interviewed him. It was when I traded away Todd Gurley and Eric Ebron to him. And I received Ronald Jones, James White, the number 3 pick, and the number 4 pick in the 19 draft. Now, I don't know what I did with those picks, but I'm sure that I turned them into some sort of value, I'm guessing. Considering that my team was, like, you know, pretty competitive back during that day. So I like to think that that was a good trade for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, we could have spent 3 hours on that segment, but we're not going to. It's just not. It's just
absolutely.
It's just a dwell of sadness.
A quick question, Ben, and we don't need to confirm this with the sheet, but in my head, you and I have traded Evan Ingram back and forth, like at least twice.
Evan Ingram,
we've each had him twice.
Yeah, he is on that sheet quite a bit.
What an enigma!
He might be up there for the most traded player in this league. He's on there quite a bit, and me and you have swapped him quite a bit, and I've swapped him to other players, and I think I've gotten him back even at some point.
I remember at one point we'll get into you'll interview me next week, we'll get into some of my trades, but I do remember swapping him for Bosco's first round pick, and that was 2 years ago, I believe.
Yeah,
And that ended up being a top 5 pick, which was chill.
Love that.
Ben, speaking of tight ends, where in the world is Rico Gathers?
This is a great question. We haven't mentioned him on the pod yet, so I apologize. But I will cover everything we need about Rico Gathers here in this question.
Let's hear it.
I've done some research. It's not an easy answer. He hasn't posted anything on his Twitter or Instagram accounts since July. From what I could tell, he was promoting a clothing line called Riccavelli Apparel, which is produced in Italy. That was on his Instagram. There was 2 posts of that, and then that was it. On his Twitter account, it seemed as if he had been producing some music. It's not great, but it's Rico Gather, so it's good.
Okay. Is it rap?
Yes.
Love it.
And that's all I've got on Rico Gathers.
So you got a LinkedIn?
Couldn't find his LinkedIn, no.
Okay.
That would have been interesting, though. Very. Maybe just, you know, I'm just going to do a quick Rico Gathers LinkedIn search here just to make sure.
Are we connected on LinkedIn, Ben?
I'm not a big LinkedIn guy, so I'm not
sure. You and me both, brother. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I don't know. Anthony's a big LinkedIn guy, right? 500 plus connections.
I couldn't tell you, but wouldn't surprise me.
Those are the coolest type of people, though. People with 500 plus connections on LinkedIn.
Yeah, absolutely. Hashtag goals.
Exactly.
Ben, speaking of social media, do you have a quota of tweets each morning that you need to reply to? Kind of what goes through your thought process each morning when you wake up? And...
Since I've started school, and I don't have to like work super early in the morning anymore. And also football season starting, Seahawks going downhill. Twitter has become a chamber for me to dispense some thoughts to people that I don't necessarily agree with.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say there's a quota, but this has started more recently because of that sort of stuff. And especially happens when I'm up taking a shit, and just Twitter. I'd say 80% of the stuff that I reply to is Seattle related, Hawks, Mariners. And I'd say about 65 to 70% is Hawks and me telling people that you don't know what you're talking about and that Russ, Pete, and everyone need to leave.
Yep.
Which leads us into our next question, correct?
Absolutely. Great segue, Ben. Let's talk about the Seahawks for a minute here. Who should they hire? Should they keep Russ? Sounds like they shouldn't keep Russ. How do they fix this mess? Here's your chance to become the GM of the Seahawks, Ben.
I wrote a lot here, so I'm going to try to narrow this down a little bit. You got a lot of 12s. I'm giving you error marks here.
Yeah, I'm a former.
A lot of 12s who live in a fair wonderland right now where they just magically think the Seahawks are going to revert back to 2013 any week now. And I just don't get it. I don't understand. But here's the deal. Yes, we would love to keep Russ around, but I don't think he wants to stick around. That's the issue. And I'm not sure I would want to force him to stay here if he doesn't want to stay here. And if he leaves, a rebuild is definitely imminent because this team is trash without him no matter what. And as much as I love Pete, and he's the best coach in Seahawks franchise history, he's also 71 years old, and rebuild and 71-year-old coach just doesn't go well with me. So ultimately, I think you got to move on from everyone if that happens. Pete Carroll, if Russ leaves, you got to move on from everyone. Pete Carroll, John Schneider, Russell Wilson. It's a bit early for me to give some names out there. I think, if I gave you, a dream hire, if you can somehow pry away Sean Payton, that would be awesome. Russell, we were to entice him that said, Russell is going to stick around.
Yep.
That would be sick.
Yep.
Could see it. That seems it seems like, you know, he could be a lifelong New Orleans coach if he wanted to, but
they're not in a great place, though.
Take, a new challenge. Or if we could pry away Cliff Kingsbury from the Cards, that'd be awesome.
All right. How about some of the realistic options?
I honestly, for the NFL, it's tough. You know what I'm saying?
Kellen Moore?
What'd you say?
I said Kellen Moore.
I just feel like I feel like he wouldn't leave Dallas almost. I feel like he
– Yeah.
I just don't know. The NFL is so in the moment for coaching hires that it's hard. It's coaching, there's a carousel where guys are working their way up, you know. Mm-hmm. NFL, it's not always like that, where it's just some random guy just appears out of nowhere sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
Brand Staley for the Chargers, did we really expect him to go up? I mean, he kind of came out of nowhere a little bit, you know? So
what about about Ed Orgeron to the Seahawks?
Man, that would be an interesting fit in Seattle, let me tell you. Edo in Seattle. I don't think it's going to fit. Maybe, I don't know, like Matt Campbell from Iowa State, maybe, if you want to go somewhere. If Pat Fitzgerald, if you ever want to leave Northwestern.
Yeah, you down to dip into the college ranks?
Yeah, like I like Pat Fitzgerald, I think. David Shaw, if you ever want to leave Stanford.
I like that a lot. I think he would leave Stanford for the Seahawks job.
I mean, that would be awesome. I think David Shaw would be great, and I think the time's kind of wrapping up at Stanford, you know? Like,
oh, yeah, they're bad.
Do stuff, but he seems like a type of guy that would work well with grown men, you know, guys who
– accountability.
Not some rah-rah bullshit, you know? So
yeah, Tomlin style.
Yeah, exactly. So, just yeah, less that could be an interesting aisle. Just one quick note for the Hawks, though. Paul Allen did pass away, the former owner, in 2019.
Yep.
And
RIP.
Great guy. His sister took over. And his sister seems like a fine person, but I'm not sure that she's like exactly invested as he was in the Seahawks, like mentally. Like financially, yes, I think they're fine. But like mentally, I'm not sure that she's as invested as he was. And that might be a topic of news this offseason, I feel like. Kind of going into all this drama. So just kind of keep an eye on that. But to answer your original question, to get better on the field, it really all begins with drafting. And we haven't drafted well in 7 years, 8 years, honestly. We've had maybe like two starters in like the last 8 drafts.
Yep.
And that's just, I mean, any
you know, unacceptable.
Any good football fan knows that to build a good team, you need to draft well. And we haven't. So, and that's John Schneider and Pete Carroll fucking it up. So
that's right. Well, good thing they have their first rounder this year.
Yeah, I didn't even bring that up. But that's the thing. If you trade Russ,
then you got picks.
Hopefully you get some picks. So
that's right. Build around Malik Willis. I love it. Ben, we're going to transition away from football for just a moment here. We just came off of Thanksgiving week. Mm-hmm. I know there was a lot of discussion in the group chat about Thanksgiving, Bosco's view on it, Dan's view of pie, et cetera, et cetera. Rank me the top 5 Thanksgiving foods in order. This can be anything from appetizer to desserts to the main meal. Give me your top 5.
Okay, so I did go like main course, not main course, but like dinner time stuff. I didn't do desserts or anything like fine. That. So just main stuff.
You do like pie though.
Oh, I love pie. Thank you. Cherry pie is probably my favorite pie, honestly. Okay. But I like apple pie, peach pie. Like I like pie. Yes. I also would like to say that, Mikey, I love you, but your opinion on Thanksgiving food might be the worst opinion I've ever heard, and it's something that I expect to hear from someone else that I won't name, but it's just very upsetting. I'm going to move on. At number 5, I have mashed potatoes.
Okay.
It's something that I have often with dinners year-round, but it's always a nice side to have, especially with all your Thanksgiving food. Number 4, I'm going to go green bean casserole. Okay. It's not something that I would like if I made it because, let's be honest, it looks miserable when you make it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you eat it, it's very delicious. And it's very delicious mostly due to the crispy onions on top.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, this might be a little wild card to some people, but I'm going to go white turkey with gravy. And I hope this doesn't count as 2 because gravy doesn't seem like a, you know, something I could rank.
Nope.
But I'm a big white turkey guy because if you cook your turkey right, it's going to be just fine. It's going to be great, honestly. Sounds like a lot of people in our chat don't cook turkeys right on Thanksgiving. But when you pour a little gravy on it too, that's just the best. You can't go wrong with that. And people are like, oh, you just pour gravy on everything on Thanksgiving. You ruin everything. No, listen. How often do you eat gravy?
Never.
Maybe like 2 times a year. This is the one time a year most people that eat gravy. So let them have it, okay?
Absolutely.
Number 2, and this has been a more recent addition to the Goldstein Thanksgiving dinner, and it's mac and cheese. And do you have mac and cheese for your Thanksgiving, Andrew?
I don't.
And I know some people don't. I feel like it's kind of more, it's becoming a little bit more popular as time goes on, but I know a lot of people who still don't. But I'm still going to rank it because
why not?
I eat mac and cheese not often, but I have it, you know, probably 10 to 15 times a year going out or like making the box version or whatever, you know, and it's all good or whatever. But when you make this real version where I make it with six different cheeses and then you put the crispy crackers on top and you bake it through, it's a little different. So it's always great. Number one, stuffing. This is something that you really only get on Thanksgiving. It's delicious. I've made it a bit crispy as of late. I've put it in like a pan and I've really let the bottom crisp up a little bit. And it's really great. You can always add sausage to it. It's great. I love stuffing. Can't go wrong with it.
All right. Well, I will chime in here for a little bit.
Please.
And I didn't want to, well, maybe I wasn't in the right mindset to continue to text my opinion that day when we were discussing it. But similar to the soup conversation, I am very aligned with Mike Lobosco. Not to say that I hate Thanksgiving, but a lot of the points that he makes, I very much agree with. The fact that we only eat it one time a year, if it was better, we'd eat it more often. In addition, his post in the Instagram group talking about how Thanksgiving food's so pathetic that you can't get through five names before going to rolls, which are served for free at most restaurants in America. Turkey's good. Mashed potatoes are good. Gravy's good. Green beans are mediocre. Stuffing doesn't taste good. The fact that there are three football games on Thanksgiving and that my family's full focus isn't in watching those games and instead like enjoying our company and eating food together just really pisses me off. And that's part of the reason I don't like Thanksgiving then.
You gotta understand, I get you with that. Because living with my folks like the last month or two who don't watch very much football, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. So I get what you're saying.
And I'll admit, Ben, I'm a little bit triggered by this most recent Thanksgiving where the meal was served as overtime started in the Dallas Oakland game. Sorry, Las Vegas. You know, just bad timing.
That's funny. We also did the same thing too. I put it on my phone at the Thanksgiving table, so it wasn't too big of a deal. But
swag.
I get what you're saying. We had a pretty casual Thanksgiving where, like, we had separate tables. So, like,
that's huge.
Sitting with like people that I didn't really even know. So I was like, I'm just gonna put this game on my phone. Hope no one cares.
Deal with it.
Yeah.
Love it. Ben, a couple more questions. Let's actually stay in the holiday spirit. And Hanukkah started recently, correct? This week?
Yeah, I think is it the fourth day or is it the third day today? Can't quite remember.
Couldn't tell you. Yeah. What do your Hanukkah celebrations consist of?
Yeah. Not much, to be honest with you, as of late.
Not that big joint that Joe shared in the tweet?
Yeah, no, I wish, honestly. When I lived by myself, I didn't really celebrate much. When I lived with roommates, didn't celebrate it. Now that I have moved back with the folks for a month or two, we light the candles and then say the prayer. And then that's about it for maybe like two or three nights of the holiday. One of the nights we'll probably make some latkes.
Okay.
And have like a nice dinner or whatever, potato pancakes, a little Hanukkah tradition, but nothing crazy. So, you know, when we were younger, we did the gifts and stuff like that, but we don't do really much gifts anymore. We might do one, but not a whole lot.
Okay. Who are your top three favorite Jewish athletes of all time? Not just
there's not a lot of big Jewish athletes out there. Being an athlete as a Jew is not like the biggest profession for us. But these are the three that, you know, I've enjoyed. Now, I never actually watched this guy, but Sandy Koufax, by far the most dominant, you know, famous Jewish athlete.
Great pitcher.
Pitched for the Dodgers back in the day. Actually decided to not play in a World Series game due to a Jewish holiday where you're not supposed to work. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of cool. Number two, Now, this might be surprising to you, but I found out that he was Jewish today after some research, and that would be Terrell Suggs.
Wow.
Yeah. His paternal grandpa is Jewish, which makes him officially Jewish because he's got Jewish on his dad's side. So, yeah.
Fork him.
I guess he has like a Jewish star tattoo. So,
what up? Also, Hard University.
Exactly.
One of the famous Jewish institutions in this country.
Yeah. BH, Ball So Hard, BHS, BH.
BSH. BSH. BSHU.
Thank you. Thank you. Number one, and this is the GOAT of women's basketball, Sue Bird.
Wow.
Yeah, she's just, you know, she's awesome. Seattle Storm legend. Well, yeah, basketball legend in general.
Yep.
I really do genuinely like watching her play basketball because she's just kind of got some swag to her game. So, Sue Bird.
Love it. Ben, last question before we get to name that league member. If you could hotbox the Swagger Wagon, which I acknowledge that you wouldn't have necessarily been in unless you came and visited me at some point.
I've been in there, I think, maybe 3 to 5 times, I feel like.
Okay. Coming and visiting Arizona? Or
Yes. I think coming to visiting Arizona. I think I visited your guys' house. Did you guys – how many houses do you have while living in Arizona?
Three. Just a new one. Every sophomore, year. Junior,
senior. And I feel like I visited – in 2 of those years. So I think that I visited 2 of those separate houses, and at least on one occasion of those houses, we definitely hotbox the Swagger Wagon.
Great. Well, RIP Swagger Wagon. Yep. If you could hotbox the Swagger Wagon with 3 NFL players, who would they be?
Josh Gordon. Cassius Marsh.
Wow.
Justin Herbert.
Mm. Interesting, so, third decision.
Just kind of run through this with you. I think we know why Josh Gordon just smokes weed. Seems like kind of a interesting, cool guy. So, yeah, why not? Cassius Marsh does seem like that kind of an out there personality, but I feel like we kind of need that kind of personality in this kind of chill group of guys. So bring him in. I'm sure he's going to tell some jokes, have a good time. Now, Justin Herbert, very chill, very calm, very relaxed, but I feel like he'd be a good guy to smoke some weed with, you know, just hang out. You listen to some Bob Marley
and
get really deep with him and talk about some spiritual stuff.
Wow. Love it. Name that league member, Ben. This league member broke his leg kicking field goals at a local park. There were not uprights involved, just kicking field goals.
Oh, man. See, now I'm trying to do process of elimination here.
I think this is our final one.
So final one.
For sure, but including us too.
Final one, huh? Oh my gosh.
This is the 12th episode, but it's the week 13 podcast.
Did we do William Sale? No, yeah, we did, because that was his dog, right? His dog.
That's right.
Yeah.
Who could forget?
Would this be Daniel Pilger?
It would not. He was actually our very first one Mr. Pirate Booty at Drake High School.
Okay. Would this be. One more guess here. Would this be Scott?
Negative. I don't know if I've – maybe I haven't done Scott either. But anyway.
Mikey?
No, it's Rob Blair. That's City Park here in Denver. Okay.
Sorry. Okay.
Well, what are you sorry for?
Well, no, because I guess what I've assumed was that you were going to give me one of the Cali guys just because, like, we kind of been doing that.
Yeah.
But I
ran out of guys.
And I just – what age was that for Rob?
Oh, this was, like, 2 years ago.
Oh,
maybe
my God,
less.
Rob. Jesus. I didn't know that. I guess I knew that he broke his leg.
Again, kicking field goals at a park, not a football field. So, like, legitimately, there weren't uprights. So it was, like, a soccer goal that he was kicking it over.
I was going to say, he wasn't even, like, punting. He was kicking field goals.
Just planted wrong or something.
Jesus, Rob. Love you, Rob. That's great.
And what's even better, Ben, is I came up with that like 2 questions ago. Like I had not prepared properly. I thought that's about awesome. It earlier. And then I was like, okay, that's the one. I had a feeling you might know it, but I'm glad we.
I knew that he broke his leg. I did not know how. So that makes it even better.
Yeah, classic.
That's great. Well, Andrew, thank you for the great questions. It was awesome.
Of course. We still managed to go a cool hour 15 per usual. Anything else?
No, I feel good. You know, I'm just, you know, trying to go into this weekend and see if maybe I can upset Zach. And
it'd be huge.
Let's see what happens in this playoff race. Huh? I'm excited.
It's getting into the nitty gritty. And then all of a sudden the playoffs arrive and it's like, holy shit, it's 1 week, win or go home, and whew. Oof. High stress.
We're pumped. We're pumped. Well, Andrew, thank you very much.
Have a great rest of your day, Ben.
Hey, you too, Andrew. Adios.
Deuces.